Blog Talk Radio.
HorrorMovieFans.com Radio Network. For fans, by fans.
Hey folks, welcome to HMF Indie Radio. This is Paris Randall, and I'm on with Andrew Rose, sidekick and producer here. Tonight we have Michael Caslow, indie filmmaker from up north, actually. I think New York, Albany, I believe. And essentially he has Archangel Productions. All right, next we have Michael Caslow, indie filmmaker, Archangel Productions. Let's bring him on.
Hi, Michael, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Michael, welcome to HMF Indie. We were having somewhat a free-for-all. We had a couple of filmmakers on that were friends, and so it turned into, as sometimes is the case, a party here. So, you know, but
yeah,
great to
came
have
into
you
the
on.
Conversation. It was a little, you talking about eggs and dogs and
yeah, well,
cats
that
and stuff
was,
like that?
Yeah, we were talking about a film that one of the filmmakers, Joe Francis, has shot called Texas Frightmare Massacre. It's a horror comedy. And I'd done a cameo in the film where, unfortunately, you know, I play an asshole. And one of the things that my character had to say was that these eggs taste like dog pussy, you know.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, yeah, that's since you're hearing that out of context, I thought I'd kind of explain that, yeah, you know.
Yeah,
so
I hear the British lady saying Blog Talk Radio, the next thing I hear is eggs and dogs and cats. And so
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, hey, it's the independent filmmaking, you know.
There you go.
So I know that you're obviously that indie filmmaker, and you're up in, what is it, Albany, New York? Is that correct?
Just north of Albany, about 45 minutes north of Albany.
Right.
Glens Falls. Yep.
Right, right. And I know that, you know, obviously shooting in New York is probably a bit different from shooting in Texas or L.A. or whatever. So, you know, let's launch into it as an independent filmmaker. I mean, obviously, you know, what kind of support do you have in the area there, you know, which is New York State?
As far as the Albany, Glens Falls area, there's a pretty strong supporting base up here of independent filmmakers and people just interested in independent filmmaking. It's not as strong as obviously like New York City would be, but a lot of people here just have the passion for it and volunteer their time. And
Sure.
Yeah.
And I really think that is really a huge plus when you're working in an area where perhaps, you know, there isn't a large volume of filmmaking because you do get that support, you know. People are willing to help facilitate, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
Making of your film. Now, you formed Archangel Productions, which is your production company, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, what type of feature films or shorts has Archangel actually, you know?
I started out doing a comedy short was my first short that I did called Help Wanted.
Right.
I did that back
right.
in 2002.
Right.
And then I did a short monologue piece with an actress called Scars. Just a short, I think it was like 8-minute piece.
Right.
And then after that, I started writing Bloodlust, which is a vampire action movie, and it was just something that I wrote so that I could film it myself.
Right. Right. So, you know, you wrote Bloodlust, and then I presume that, you know, Bloodlust will eventually go into production as a feature, correct?
Right. Yeah, I wrote it so that I could do it myself, because I would write some screenplays for more bigger budget, like sci-fi and horror movies.
Right, right.
But I know it's very hard on a Hollywood level to get those types of movies produced, so I wrote something that I could do myself.
Exactly, and you know, I think that's the cue that a lot of filmmakers have taken. I mean, you know, the old days of trying to go to L.A. and trying to go, you know, go door to door or studio to studio, you know, with your screenplay in hand, trying to gain support financially, you know, for a feature. I mean, it's really with the technology today not necessary, you know? I mean,
right, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, you could take, you know, years trying to get that kind of support from LA or the Hollywood team, whereas, you know, you can grab your camera and assemble your own crew and go out and get your film made next month,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Exactly.
Yep. And I think, you know, that's really what drives this whole independent film revolution. And the irony is, I think the independent film revolution that's been ongoing now for a few years, you know, I think, you know, those distributors like Anchor Bay and Lionsgate and so many others, I mean, they really depend on us to provide them with those titles. And Hollywood Video and Blockbuster, they're depending on us as well to stock their shelves because...
Exactly, yep. Because we can crank out anywhere, I mean, the whole spectrum, anywhere from this very, very low budget, I don't want to say junk, but independent films don't have high production value, all the way up to still this independently made films that you can make with your friends that does have a very high production look for very little money.
Yeah,
but this depends upon how much you want to, how much creativity and you want to put into it.
Well, yeah, as I said a million times on this show, less money means that you have to be more innovative, more creative as far
exactly.
as your thinking
yep.
goes. And, you know, I think with independent films, what sets the independent, you know, film products apart from those that are mainstream, obviously, is usually storyline, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, independent films tend to actually go into areas where obviously mainstream will not tread, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I think the fans like that.
Yeah, it can go anywhere from like you were just having with your conversation that I walked into more I guess you could call like taboo stuff that they I would wouldn't touch anything for to
right.
Like something that's more original.
Yeah, you know it's kind of that thing where, you know, I mean, really, yes, as an independent filmmaker, you can take all those films that you have, you know, obviously been inspired by over the years. And most of us, I think, who get into film from any perspective, within any facet of the industry, whether you're an actor, a filmmaker, you know, I think we get into it because we're fans of film to begin with, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the beauty of independent cinema and filmmaking is that since, in most cases, you know, these independent films are being funded out, you know, from private investors, and it's usually family and friends. They're going to support you in making whatever kind of film you want to make. If it's a standard, you know, sort of, you know, storyline, one that is more, I guess, you know, reminiscent of perhaps, you know, those films that, you know, that are being made within the mainstream. But then independent cinema, you can do that as well. You can go out there and you can create something really shocking, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like you said, we're mainly doing this because we love to do it, because we're fans of the genre, no matter what, whether it's like sci-fi or horror, or the different types of horror, whether it's like vampire or zombie or grindhouse or splatter, whatever you want to call it. But we're doing it because we want to do it, and I mean, I'm doing it just knowing that I'm not going to probably get a lot of money out of this, but I'm doing it because for the love of it.
Right.
That's what mainly. I mean, like you and. I was interviewed once by Jonathan Moody, and so I know what he I know what he is into, and all the my other friends in the Albany Glens Falls area that do the film independent filmmaking, they're doing it. I mean, they're either in college right now doing their thing, or they have their own jobs like I do and do this stuff on the weekends. But we do
right.
it because we love it.
Yeah, it's definitely the love for filmmaking. Or acting, or whatever it is you do within this genre, that truly drives, I think, and compels us all to do it. Because, as you said, you know, we're not going to be, you know, generally we're not going to get rich doing it, okay? And,
right.
So if you don't love it, you probably wouldn't do it. I've had that conversation with a number of, you know, directors that I've worked for and worked with, and you know, filmmakers overall. You know, I think it's a It's those of us who grew up with that complete passion for film. You know, you mentioned vampire movies. I mean, I remember being, you know, this little kid sitting up late at night watching the old Hammer horror films. You know, the old
mm-hmm. yeah,
Christopher
my favorite.
Lee and Ingrid,
exactly.
Ingrid Pitt. And, you know, I mean, hell, those vampire flicks were, like, fantastic. And, you know, I've noticed that a few independent filmmakers now are coming out, out with the vampire films, and if you watch them, you see that there's a tremendous, you know, a tremendous influence, you know, from those Hammer horror classics that are very prevalent in the independent vampire films that you see now.
Right, because there were people like you and me who love these Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing movies, and I grew up with them when I was watching them on Saturday mornings or Saturday afternoons, and just get influenced by them. I love the old Gothic horror from the 50s and 60s.
Right. My favorite Christopher Lee, you know, Dracula portrayal was in a feature entitled Scars of Dracula. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, there were so many. You know, I believe his first actual portrayal of Dracula was Horror of Dracula in 58.
Okay.
And then, of course, he played the same one up through the 70s, you know, but Scars of Dracula, for those who are fans of the genre who've never seen this, you know, because I noticed that is the one that doesn't seem to play on television much. I don't know why, but it's out there on DVD. It's kick-ass, you know.
Oh, yeah, I have it. It's really good.
It is. It's an excellent film, you know. And you know, you mentioned Peter Cushing, you know. Peter Cushing was a fantastic actor. I mean, you know, and there was something about that whole Hammer horror group. I mean, you know, as they, again, as an ensemble group, you know, they would pop up in one film after the other, playing opposite each other. They took on polar opposite characters oftentimes, and it worked.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I mean, they were just very good actors. I mean, they're not, I mean, one thing I don't like about Hollywood movies nowadays is that you have these, I mean, what I call like man boys, like Leonardo DiCaprio's and I mean, any of these guys that just don't look like men. They look like a bunch of 15-year-old girls trying to portray men.
Yeah.
I mean, they had these like pretty much like gentlemen, almost like Cushing and Christopher Lee, portraying like more manly like men characters.
You know, I think with Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing and so many others, you know, number one, you know, they understood the true meaning of acting, which is you evolve into different characters. And it seems like now more than ever, as you said, with so many of the marquee name type actors that you have from Hollywood, you know, they seem to play themselves in every film, you know?
Yeah.
It was, I heard an interesting comment, you know, when the film Valkyrie came out, you know, with Tom Cruise, that everybody kept expecting him in that character to kind of like bust out with "You've lost that loving feeling," you know, like, which, you know, famous scene from Top Gun. But you know, that's the difference between, I guess, the current crop of actors that perhaps we see in a lot of big budget films, and again, those from the days of the Hammer horror, you know, phenomenon. And I think it's really cool too that you know. And I really enjoy talking to someone like yourself who actually was and still is a fan of, you know, that era of filmmaking, because I was very heavily influenced by those features. And but, you know, I mean, literally Hammer revitalized all those characters. I mean, if we go back beyond Hammer, you know, Universal originally kind of, you know, they actually made very popular all of the classic, if you will, monsters, okay?
Mm-hmm.
From Dracula to Frankenstein, et cetera. And then there came that period of time where, you know, it was felt that, hey, those films were dead. Those characters were dead. And then, hey, in the 50s, along came Hammer horror, you know, and they breathed new life into, you know, these characters that had not been seen on screen for quite some time.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, everything from the Wolfman to, I mean, Dracula. I mean, wasn't Christopher Lee's first role for Hammer, wasn't that a Frankenstein movie?
Yeah, actually. And then, of course, you know, Oliver Reed came along and played the Wolfman, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, again, you know, those films were fantastic. So, you know, do you see that time coming when perhaps, you know, I know we have the big remake of the Wolfman coming, you know, to theaters, and, you know, it's a big mainstream feature. Do you see that kind of, you know, perhaps that turn, as is always the case with horror, things evolve and come back around? Do you see that point coming at which, you know, perhaps those classic creatures are, I hate to use the phrase, in vogue, but that's it, in vogue again?
I think just like as you said, there's always a something comes around full circle.
Yeah.
And you know, Hollywood's going to revitalize its franchises, but then somebody like a Hammer horror film. Well, it was more independent. They come around and put a little twist to it, make it a little better.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like the Mummy movies with Brendan Fraser. I mean, I like Brendan Fraser as an actor, but I mean, I think they did a very good job with the Mummy movie, not destroying that in any bad way. I mean, I just like the Mummy movies in general. Even the Scorpion King, I like, even though it's not really,
right.
Even though it is a monster movie, but in a way, but it is part of the Mummy. Universe
right,
there.
Right. Well, when you go back and watch, for example, the original, The Thing, you know, from Howard Hawks, and then you watch the remake in 82, obviously, you know,
mm-hmm.
Carpenter. I mean, Carpenter remade The Thing and brought to it, you know, his brand, but, I mean, the remake was all totally fucking awesome, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so often, you know, we see remakes that don't live up to the original. But when a real fan makes or remakes a film that he or she was truly heavily influenced by, they tend to bring that passion to it, you know, and I think makes all the difference in the final product.
And Carpenter's, especially with The Thing, did a very good job. I mean, like you said, he was a fan of it, and he had his own love for that character, for that movie, and so he did it in a different way, but still in a way that horror fans, especially at that time, was very... graphic with the special effects. So
right,
he did
right.
in a way that almost all the fans approved of.
Right, right. So with your screenplay, you know, Bloodlust, are you looking at a point in the near future where you can feasibly say that you're going to be going into production, maybe on a feature?
Bloodlust was my first feature that I made, and but. I plan on doing other features probably someday, especially with my new one that I just finished up, Cryptid. That's just an 8-minute short, but I plan on doing other chapters of it so that
right.
eventually it would be able to be made into a full length. Put them all together, it would be a full length movie.
Right, right.
So wait a minute. So Bloodlust is already completed. Is it completed? Is it like available on DVD distribution?
Oh, yes, it is. I made it back in 2004.
Okay.
And it's available on my website, archangelproductions.org. O-R-G. And people can go in there and buy it for, I don't know, what am I saying, like for like $9 or $10, something like that.
Excellent.
It's an 89-minute movie.
Excellent. All right.
Yep.
All right. So when you actually made Bloodlust, and I was kind of, you know, I was misunderstanding you a bit. I was thinking that, you know, it was yet to go into production. But when you actually made Bloodlust, I mean, was this a feature where, as you said a moment earlier, you know, you had a lot of folks who were, you know, maybe in college, et cetera. They came on, they formed the crew, they actually went forth and helped you make your film?
There were. I mean, a lot of times it was just like a lot of times with my movies, and I'm sure with other people's movies, it was a one-man show as
sure.
far as the production went. A lot of it had to, I mean, the storyline's about a girl whose family gets killed by vampires, and then eventually she, at a later time, goes out and gets revenge for these vampires. It's sort of like in a Buffy, almost Buffy-esque, even though I'm not a big Buffy fan. Like, I've never actually seen an episode. It's about a girl that goes out and kills vampires, basically.
Right, right.
And, but
she's kind of a female Van Helsing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, she's actually adopted by the church, becomes a nun. Her brother gets killed, and then she doesn't technically leave the church spiritually, but she goes on sort of like a pilgrimage. She doesn't want people knowing what she's doing because a lot of people don't believe in vampires, except for a select few. So she doesn't want people thinking that she's crazy or anything. So she just calls it a pilgrimage, and she goes out and kills vampires.
Right,
but that
right.
was I did have some people that did the acting as a passion. They weren't paid at all, just with food. And
right.
It took about almost a year to do on weekends.
Yeah, totally. That again, as you said, is that is the way that many of the independent features are completed. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I think it's a testament, you know, to, again, the genre and to the process of independent filmmaking that, you know, from actors to crew people to yourself, et cetera. You know, I mean, you know, folks are willing to devote, as you said, maybe a year of their life, weekends, et cetera, you know, to seeing a feature film through to completion. And, you know, and again, this is oftentimes because you love the genre, because you want to create the movie, not because you're being paid X number of dollars, you know?
Right, right.
And I think that's the big difference, you know, between what might, you know, be expected of people, say, in those, you know, areas like California, et cetera. You know, I mean, you're not going to usually get, you know, the majority of people to actually commit to anything unless there's money involved, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, whereas, obviously, you know, as you said earlier, you know, most people that do independent film are doing it for the love of the genre. So, you know, it's passion, and nobody wants to get rich. They just want to perhaps do what they love to do and make a reasonable living doing it. And I think everybody's working towards that.
Mm-hmm. It's all for a common, you know, it's just a common goal of getting the movie completed and out there for people to see. And,
exactly.
Just do it anyways if you can.
Exactly. You know, so, you know, literally, you know, do you have any plans to maybe go out there with, say, you know, Bloodlust and maybe link up with let's say on the internet, a download kind of, you know, pay-per-view scenario?
That would be nice. It is on IndieFlix, but I think that's pretty much the only thing that I have it on right now.
Right.
I think it's IndieFlix.com. But as far as anything else, I do have a production company on California called Goliath that's doing something with it. They give me some reports every so often, but it's mainly in Europe where they're showing it on TV someplace over in like some Central European countries that I can't even pronounce.
Right, right. Yeah, a very good friend of mine, an associate, Hart Fisher, he has launched American Horrors, and I know over in the land across the pond, you know, Great Britain. I mean, I know the show airs and they air a lot of independent there, and he's always looking for those really cool, you know, if you will, horror, independent horror features, you know, and you know, something you might want to check out, you know, just go out there and Google Hart Fisher. I think it's Crime Pays. I can't remember the exact, you know, web address, but I know he really gets behind a lot of you know, independent filmmakers with their first time features, and it, you know, works out a deal, and you get some actual, you know, television play, and you know, it's great to know that your work and the efforts of all the people involved, that those efforts are actually seen and enjoyed by, you know, wow, a TV viewing public, and that whether it's across the pond or here in the U.S., I think that's really, really cool.
Parrish, it's AmericanHorrors.com.
Okay, I'll check that out.
Go check that out.
Yeah, check out AmericanHorrors.com, and the guy that you definitely, you know, Hart is always looking for, you know, he's always looking for, you know, independent films to screen, and he's launching an American Horrors label. That you know, he's going to be doing DVD distribution, plus he's got his television program that should be launching in 3 weeks, 4 weeks in Europe, in which he'll be showing, you know, American horror and independent horror films on you know, on this particular television program in Europe to introduce the European crowd, because the European crowd is just huge, hungry for American horror, right? So, yeah, AmericanHorrors.com.
Yeah, Michael, check that out, because, I mean, it is a tremendous venue, forthcoming for independent filmmakers. And Hart's been on the show a couple of times. He's a great guy, and he's out there. Like I said, he's looking for good work, you know. And you sound like someone that really put a lot into your feature there. So
I did. Yep.
Absolutely.
I wrote that down. I'll check it out sometime.
Okay. Cool. And so. But right now, folks can go to and go and shout out your web address one more time if they want to go to your site.
Sure, it's Archangel, ArchangeL Productions.org.
Excellent. and they can actually purchase, you know, your feature film as well as perhaps your shorts on that site,
yep.
Right?
If they can, they can do the Bloodlust the feature, my first shorts, and the little short that I did after Bloodlust called the Vampire Assassin. It's about 19-minute short.
Cool.
And, yep.
Oh, do you actually make any of the horror film conventions, the horror fan conventions up the New York way?
I haven't yet.
I know the big Fangoria weekend, New York, is coming up. Didn't know if you were going to attend that. And
not yet. That's very big, but I heard that there's some other. I would like to start with some smaller ones actually to go to and sell my stuff at, but there's one in Connecticut someplace.
Yeah, I was going to say, the horror fan conventions are fantastic, venues to actually get your work out there, because horror fans are obviously like, hell, we are horror fans, all of us. So, horror fans are super loyal. When they see your work and they appreciate it, they go and they tell their friends and their friends and check out your work. And literally, it's fantastic, that we have this networking of people, all of whom share the same love for this genre that may be misunderstood by a few, but, we don't consider those people,
Mm-hmm.
And
right. Yep.
The fan conventions are fantastic, ways to connect with folks that are of like kind,
Don't have that many, conventions up in the Albany area, but I heard that there's some maybe out towards Boston, and there's obviously New York City.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you get a chance next year, come down to Texas. We have the Texas Frightmare Weekend convention, and it's a fantastic event, man. We just had the event, a couple weekends ago, and so a year from now, hell, maybe we'll see you down Texas way.
That'd be fun.
This might be a good time to point out too, as an independent filmmaker. Michael, we have a Parrish and I, along with a couple friends of ours, are organizing a pure independent horror film festival that you can get more information about submissions. I'm thinking your one film, Bloodlust 2004, might be a little too old for that. I think our guidelines say that the film has to be 2006 or 2007 or later. I'm not sure which. But, as far as some of your short films and stuff that you've, completed more recently, check out TexasBloodbath.com. It's TexasBloodbath.com. And, consider submitting your stuff to us and the film festival, and we'll definitely watch it. And if, the shorts, especially the shorts, and, what we plan to do is to screen the shorts before we screen a feature. So we'll show a short, say, 5, 10, 15 minute short, then we'll screen a feature that'll run the typical 60 to 90 minutes, and then we'll have a break and some Q&A and a panel or whatever, and then we're going to show a couple more shorts and another feature. So we'd definitely love to see you submit your stuff to the Texas Bloodbath Film Festival.
Sure, definitely. I saw it the other day, and I'm thinking about submitting the Vampire Assassin.
Absolutely. We'd love to have that become a part of the event. And so get that to us for screening. And, obviously you sound like you've got some work there that would be greatly appreciated as far as by a lot of horror fans out there. So, yeah, you go to the website, get the information, contact Andy. He'll talk to you directly, man, and we'll get this thing rocking and rolling,
Good.
All right, fantastic. Well, Michael, I got to say, it's been a pleasure having you on, and we want to have you back, and we look forward to that submission for the Bloodbath Film Festival here. And, and dude, keep rocking on. Keep making the horror films, the independent horror films that deal with, the creatures, the vampires, and things like that.
Definitely.
What I like to see.
Thanks for having me. It was great fun.
Absolutely. So, again, folks, Michael Caslow, and up in New York, check out Archangel Productions, and like I said, check out Bloodlust, excuse me, and because I'm gonna go there, Michael, and make a purchase, okay? Because any vampire film I want to check out. So, man, it's been
a pleasure.
Sounds
great. Thanks a lot.
Have a great night, man. Take
you
care.
You too. Okay. Bye.
All right.